place.
This place is live. Can you feel this moment?
They are rocking. It's all about who's going to face you, Seth, in the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, it's caught. Roman Reigns.
It may be Kevin Owens.
This is it. He hits it.
Superman punch. Superman punch by Reigns. Roman Reigns spear. Spear by Reigns. Cover. Roman Reigns is coming after you, Seth. Reigns is coming after the WWE World title.
Roman Reigns.
What an incredible night. What an incredible moment for Roman Reigns.
My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson of Philly.com.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like some parkour champion.
What is your name?
Here, as always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Pacone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
We got the wrestling show coming up next. So
Straight Shooters Radio, right after us.
Straight Shooters is, I believe, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah. I said give me a hell yeah.
Nick's proudest moment every week.
Oh, my goodness.
When you hear that intro. You should see him, people. He's fist pumping, he's bobbing his head, bouncing back and forth like Brock Lesnar.
That's my hype song now. Whenever I go to the gym, I'm just going to play that on repeat.
Even with the audio included?
Yes.
As the intro said, you are listening to the Straight Shooters podcast here on Wildfire Radio. I am, of course, Vaughn Johnson of Philly.com. As always, joined by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Pacone.
That's me.
Of Philly Everything. Well, have you added another website to your resume?
I should, but right now, Philly Influencer and Philly Voice. Well, Bleed Philly's still there, too. Yeah. So
everything, yeah. Like I said. And we, of course, have a special guest here in the building. We got Brian Isley.
What's up?
My man.
Yeah, Team Wildfire. What's up?
That's right.
Uniting once again.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Got to give you a shout out. You've given us a shout out.
I don't know why, but for the past couple of weeks, Boombox Life Radio, the podcast that I host every Monday night here on wildfireradio.com, for about 5 to 10 minutes, it turns into Straight Shooters. We're a hip hop podcast, and it turns into Straight Shooters. I mean, we've had references to Dino Bravo. And
wow,
yeah,
everything. Taylor was here. Taylor knows. It's all true.
Dino Bravo mentions. We don't even do that here.
Yeah, we just talked about how much we hated him. we hate Dino Bravo.
Condolences to the
Boombox Life Radio.
Condolences to the Dino Bravo family, by the way. He's no longer with us. But he wasn't that great of a wrestler.
No, he
was on like 7 straight WrestleManias.
Nah, Earthquake made him look good. You know, that's how it goes.
You're keeping it real. Early today.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it real throughout the entire podcast.
We will. We definitely will.
We're going to touch on a lot of WWE stuff, of course. Hell in a Cell was this past Sunday.
We had Raw this past Monday.
We can talk about NXT, I guess. I mean, what else we got on the agenda tonight, Nick?
Let's see.
Don't talk about the World Title Series.
Nah, you know that was on the agenda, but
I'm pretty sure we're not going to have time.
Well, conveniently,
I'm
going to
make sure we're not
going to
have time.
Actually, I want to talk later on. We don't have to talk about that now. But 25 years of The Undertaker.
You want to do that today?
Survivor Series. Okay. Just the fact that doesn't make sense given how Hell in a Cell ended. Like now they're already promoting, The Undertaker, 25 years at Survivor Series, when he hasn't even been in, he wasn't on Raw, like nothing.
Still The Undertaker, though.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's worth celebrating.
With the way that pay-per-view ended, and then the next night you have that promo, it's like, hey, we're going to celebrate him.
But they had it at Survivor Series. They had it on Hell in a Cell, that promo.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, then, makes more sense now. But the fact that they ran it on Raw, I think that's what stood out to me the most. I saw it on Raw. I probably missed it if it was on Hell in a Cell. Just because whenever they do like ads on pay-per-views, I kind of look away or take my break or whatever. So.
I don't understand why they do them anyway. At least, I don't know why they do ads in a pre-show. like on the network.
Maybe they're getting money. I don't know. I mean,
they don't. They advertise what's coming up on the network. Like they advertise Hell in a Cell.
Maybe they're paying themselves.
Okay,
maybe
that makes sense.
Or maybe they're banking on somebody having somebody over watching, and they don't have WWE Network and go back home and get WWE Network.
Yeah, I'm sure that's happened.
Or do they still show the pre-show on like YouTube and all that stuff?
Yeah, they actually have the whole entire pre-show on YouTube.
That's what that's probably what they're banking on. Like, okay, if you're watching on YouTube, you may not be watching the pay-per-view.
Okay,
you might not make a last-minute purchase, but if you're watching WWE on YouTube, you're probably going to watch this thing on WWE Network. Absolutely. Or
for $10,
You're probably going to make that decision anyway. You've probably already made that decision.
I've flirted with the idea of putting the pre-show on my articles on recaps because they put the whole pre-show on, like the hour show, but
you get no one's going to watch an hour onto pre-show. Article.
Yeah. So no one's going to watch a pre-show on the recap, but...
That would be a good idea to you just gave me a good idea to embed the link onto a story and let the live let the live stream
That's true.
That's a good idea.
Watch
hey look y'all coming
watch
up with good ideas pretty. And stuff
yeah.
Show.
Yeah
that's awesome
yeah. We're straight shooting
and spitballing ideas alright let's get to the Hell in a Cell. Let's briefly touch over it because it did happen.
It was great.
It did happen 5 days ago. It was a good show. I'll give credit where credit is due. Hell in a Cell was a good show. Probably I think it was the best one since WrestleMania.
Yeah, I like SummerSlam more than most, so I'd say best one since SummerSlam.
Was pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
And definitely the NXT show before, so yeah.
I wasn't counting NXT.
Right,
just WWE.
NXT is awesome.
Yeah. That's been better than a lot of WWE stuff, so.
Yes.
That's not fair. opening match was the U.S. Open Challenge. John Cena, of course, defended against Alberto. All right, let's not go there. Alberto Del Rio, who came out with Zeb Colter in a motorized chair.
Yes,
wheeled out.
Here I am thinking Jack Swagger is going to come out, and I was like kind of mad about it. Oh, I was like, Are we kidding?
Yeah.
And then as soon as he says Alberto, I'm like, yes, this is awesome. I'm like, I'm getting up out of my seat. I'm like, yes, this is awesome.
I hated that Zeb had to announce his name, though, because
it's without not the same, right?
Without Ricardo, it's like, he's missing something.
Yeah.
That's my guy. I love that dude. He needs to come back. I would have been more excited if he would have walked out than actually seeing Alberto Del Rio.
Well, what if he came out with Jack Swagger?
Or if he came out with Rob Van Dam.
They need each other.
They need each other.
Remember to put Ricardo with Rob Van Dam? He had the blazer with the shirt. It was like, this doesn't fit at all.
No. No. That's probably why RVD hasn't been back.
They should have given Del Rio the car. But I know that costs money.
Yeah.
To rent the car.
See, plus they had the ramp and everything.
They could have done that for 1 week.
Did they have the ramp? I don't even remember.
No, they don't have a ramp. Not for pay-per-views, no. So they could have worked it.
They could have.
But Del Rio beat Cena in like relatively like quick fashion. super kick.
Clean.
Super kick, bam, over, done. And there's no explanation. John Cena just disappears.
Which is, we'll get into that later, but it kind of came out of nowhere.
It's good. I'm glad he's disappeared.
They need him.
Let me tell you, I have a theory, so I'll explain it later when we talk about Raw. And, I wonder if you guys will agree with my theory or see some type of...
I'll say this much. There's going to come a day where you're going to really appreciate John Cena and what he does. Not today.
One day. I agree. It's the same day hell for you.
That day will come.
Oh, man.
And you then, only then.
Yes.
When you appreciate it.
The next in your house, cold day in hell.
Right. Cold day in hell.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Wasn't that when Steve Austin met Undertaker?
Yep.
Yeah. I got a good memory, man.
Yeah.
All right. Second match is a Hell in a Cell match. Roman Reigns beating Bray Wyatt. And what I thought was a match that exceeded my own personal expectations.
It was very good.
I'd agree with that. I didn't expect much from this, especially given the fact it was the second match on the show. It was kind of like,
what are the
expectations here now? Like, they kind of lowered because I figured it'd be middle of the card match. But really, the way they used the tables, I thought was awesome. No blood, but that didn't really take away from this match, I think. What do you think, Brian?
No, I think it was great. When Reigns got put through a table off the apron, that was awesome. Yeah. They used the kendo sticks well. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was no blood, but it was still,
like,
didn't take away from the match at all.
There was like a subtle psychology to that. I don't know if you guys picked it up, where Wyatt set up the table, but he wound up going through it. And Reigns set up the table, but he wound up going through it. There was, to me, that subtlety, I liked that.
Yeah.
Because to me, it shows there's more creative juices flowing, where it's like, you don't really see that anymore.
Unfortunately.
Recently. But I thought that was, that also added to the story. I like that.
I thought this was good as a Hell in a Cell could possibly be, and within the PG restrictions in 2015.
Yep, agreed.
Absolutely.
Like, as good, I mean, I thought.
And the right guy won, in my opinion.
Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose last year was pretty good too, within those parameters. That was really good. But this was about on par with
the
match.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like was the results.
You want a Bray Wyatt to win?
Yeah, I love Bray Wyatt.
You should have known they wasn't going to have him beat Roman Reigns, though. You just got to accept that fact that they want Roman Reigns to be the guy.
That was my thought going into it.
I'm just saying, you got to come to terms with that fact. Come to terms with Roman Reigns going to be their guy.
Cena or Reigns?
Right. Come to terms with the fact that he's their guy. Come to terms with the fact, and then this sucks, that Cesaro is not going to be their guy.
Yeah.
I can't have both of them super kicked.
I mean, he can.
Unless
but...
you hire the Young Bucks, but they just got signed by Ring of Honor. Yeah. So that's out the window. So no double super kicks. No super kick parties.
Oh, man. We just need HBK to come back and start kicking random employees with papers flying in the air.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That's Steve. I just kicked Steve. Yeah. That was hilarious. All right. The tag title match was kind of a letdown for me, but there was still some funny moments. New Day beat Dudley Boys. Mm. The best part to me was New Day rocking the armbands, the XW armbands. They went outside the ring, called a timeout, and they was like, all right, we're going to run Computer Blue. And if you know Chappelle's show, you know that reference. Mm. And I was on the floor laughing when they did that. And of course, the unicorn shirts, which are great.
Yes.
So that's what made the match to me. But the match itself was like, it was all
right. Right. And, you know, last week we both said we thought the Dudleys would eventually win the titles, and the fact that that didn't come to fruition kind of was a letdown for me, just based on I thought this feud was going to continue, but now it seems like maybe this is the end of it. You know, so
I don't know what else to
I didn't mind them winning the New Day retaining, but you know, as long as they don't have the same match Survivor Series,
it's going to be a Survivor Series. It's going to be like a Survivor Series match. So you have the Dudley Boys and three baby, two baby faces, or
another
three,
tag title match is kind of, you know, lame now. I mean, they had, what, two or three chances already?
Yeah. So you can't do that again in Survivor Series. They're going to have a Survivor Series match.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Yeah. But if they have another tag title match between the teams at TLC or even Raw or SmackDown, I'd be like, nah, I'm done with this.
It's going to be New Day and a heel. It's a four or five person match, because they've done it both ways. If it's four people, New Day's in a heel and Dudley Boys and two baby faces or something like that. So
I have a feeling they'll do five. And I'll explain why later.
Okay. All right. Look, okay.
Everything Raw is like why I feel certain things.
All right.
I missed Xavier Woods so much in this match.
I did miss him too, but I thought the New Day did good without him. Nah. Did you see the stuff they did on YouTube though?
No, I didn't.
That's where they make their money. On YouTube and on the Fallout shows. When they have Eden, they don't like Eden, but they love JoJo.
Okay.
I like both, personally. Obvious reasons.
Ditto.
But they're like, where's JoJo? Where is she? Get out of here. Like, go, Eden. They try to like ask a question. And she'll start asking, no questions asked for you. Go get JoJo. Bye. But this week, it was really funny what they did this week. They accused her of stealing their unicorn shirt because she's wearing it. So I'm trying to support you guys. Like, where did you get that shirt? Did you steal it? And Biggie's like, thief.
Oh, my
thief.
God.
Thief. Somebody thieving out here.
How did I miss that?
They usually take it off.
I tend to, like, watch them. No, I missed that one.
It's hysterical. Oh, my God.
The Fallout shows are on the network, too, right?
Yeah. Okay. I watch them on YouTube. All right. Because the WWE website sometimes is wonky with the video.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The video player. But YouTube is, you know, perfect. So it's hilarious. But
there you go.
That's that match. Divas Championship match, Charlotte beat Nikki Bella, and I thought was a very good match.
Yes.
It was.
Especially the ending. At the ending, honestly, I thought Nikki was going to win the title back just based off how she powerbombed or Alabama slammed her right on the apron.
Crazy spot.
And which was amazing. And then she threw her in the ring like she was going to give her a rack attack, but it looked like, oh my God, like she's going to win. Like, just based off what I was seeing, it's like, this is how, like, it's not a bad finish, but like, I could legitimately see this being the ending. But when Charlotte, you know, reversed it into the, it was this, I think it was a small package. Is that what it,
nah,
no, figure eight. Yeah.
Which is an awesome move.
I was like, oh, thank God.
It's crazy to see her do the figure eight though, when she's selling the back, but then she still somehow, you know, goes back, but whatever.
Good match.
That apron, she took a hell of a bump.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend anybody doing that. Danny Cage, he runs the Monster Factory out here in Paulsboro. He was like, every goofball out, that's the non-cursing term, goofball. He said something else on Twitter. But every indie goofball is going to try to use that now. Mm-hmm. Don't. It's not a safe move.
Right, like, right, yeah.
I'm like, he's right, because you can already see somebody in some indie show trying that same spot and just being paralyzed.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, Cena took it earlier. It was like a powerbomb from Kevin Owens, but still, that's still the same impact.
It's a little different, though, because I think he landed differently than Charlotte landed, like flat, like a flat back bump.
She took a hell of a bump, but she took it perfectly.
Right,
like, right.
Because she's a professional. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah. And let's give Nikki some credit, too, because if she did the move wrong, then
it's a wrap.
It would, yeah. So
no more Charlotte.
Both of them. Now that was way above my expectations for a match.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So
that move goes wrong, and Rick is out there fulfilling Charlotte's contract.
Oh, oh no!
Rick's got the Divas title around his waist.
Oh Jesus! That's not. That's a visual I did not want to
see. That.
That's not a visual I want to.
No.
Put in my head right now. Come on, man. Let's move on.
You can't picture Rick doing the figure eight.
Not now. At this advanced age, he could barely put the figure four on. He can't do the figure eight.
I think the only thing he can do is chop now.
He can do the chop, but not the figure eight.
No.
All right. I want him to do the figure eight, and he gets stuck down there.
I want to see it now.
He'd do it, and he's just stuck. He's like, oh, I can't move. And that's it.
That'll finally get his ass up out of the ring. He'll finally be done.
Maybe it's time for me to retire when I can't get
finally.
Up. From my own finish. All right. WWE World Heavyweight Championship smack dab in the middle of the card. Seth Rollins beat Kane in a very, very average match.
Which is why I keep telling you guys, it was in the middle of the card for a reason.
Oh, yeah. I'm not.
Seth is not that good. He's not.
Seth is really good. Kane is not good.
Yeah. And that probably was the worst match on the card. I think we can all agree to. I know the Divas match was better than expectations, but as a match, this one I was just so bored with.
The build sucks.
Yeah. Which made sense, though.
There's no heat because no one's cheering for Kane. That doesn't help the match itself. The match, if you had heat and there's a good build, it might have been better. Like, Rock Hogan, that wasn't a great technical masterpiece, but you had heat because people love Hogan in Toronto, you know, and people turned on The Rock, and it was good storytelling. The match itself wasn't that great, but you had all the other stuff that made it great.
It was a couple. They made a lot of mistakes in that match too.
Yeah,
but it was still great. It was one of my favorite matches ever.
Yeah. A good angle and some good crowd. He can make that match that isn't so great. All of a sudden, we like, oh, that was the greatest match ever.
The crowd made that match, which essentially means Hogan made the match because they all loved Hogan.
Right, but they still turned on The Rock, and The Rock flipped it too. He kind of flipped too. He's like, okay, well, you're gonna boo me. Well, I'm gonna get a little nasty here.
Yeah.
So kudos to both of them. This could have benefited from a hot angle and some crowd heat.
Yeah.
You had none. So you had a subpar match. And it was like,
and the lead up made sense. It was like the storyline made sense, but there was no one's behind. You're right. Like, no one's behind Kane. Like, no one wants to see Kane in that position.
Wrong character.
To win a world title. You know, like, if they made a similar storyline with Cesaro, this match would have been probably the
main. Right. And it would have been better.
It would have been the main event, probably. Maybe not Hell in a Cell, but it would have probably been the best match on the card. It would have made a run for it.
Kane did carry the dialogue part of the build-up with promos and all that. His split personality.
This was probably the best his character's been in a long, long time.
He's funny.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I liked it.
With what he was given, he made the absolute most of it. But that doesn't mean that's going to save.
Exactly. It doesn't translate.
It's going to make money. But kudos to Kane for doing what he can.
Mm-hmm. No, he did the best he could.
Yeah, he got the most out of it.
Yeah.
Which goes back to Lesnar, Taker, you know, like, I think this was made sense for Seth to have a subpar opponent.
No, you don't. You can't give your champion subpar opponent.
No, I it can't happen. Ultimately, you can't, I agree
put
with
it
that.
In the middle of the card.
Ultimately, I agree with that.
But Seth Rollins is, I think, the best, one of the best workers in the world today. He's not booked like it. He loses all the time. But he needs better opponents than Kane.
Yeah.
Or at least a better story. He needs better creative. And, he needs a lot of better things.
Yeah.
he needs some nice things.
Needs better.
Get this guy a freaking bone here. And maybe you'll probably make some money with him. All right. IC title match. Nothing really to see that much here. I mean, Kevin Owens beat Ryback.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I take that back. This might have been the least interesting match on the card. Good. You know, yeah.
And I always defend Ryback.
Yeah, you're, thing, your
big
boy.
Guy, he's good for what he is.
Yep.
Never said he's a top star, but for what he is, he's good.
Mm.
This wasn't a great performance. I can't defend this one.
No.
Every guy has a bad day right now.
At least the right guy won. I'll give it that, but that's about it.
Because we definitely know Kevin Owens is capable of better.
Yes.
When he has a better opponent. Yep. But, that's pretty much it here. And of course, the main event.
Which was awesome.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Brock Lesnar beat Undertaker in a bloody match that tore up the ring. And it's like,
There's no doubt in my mind they planned that they were going to bleed. Like, whether there were blades around or they were like, oh, I'm just going to go hard way and I know I'm going to bust myself up. But there's no doubt in my mind they both planned to bleed.
The top of his head, though? You think Lesnar planned that to get staples?
I mean, he's...
That was crazy.
Plans can go awry.
And that one did.
But it just doesn't surprise me. Like, I guess...
Look, the last three big matches Brock has had, he's bled. WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and now Hell in a Cell. I don't know if
is
that's
he easily,
coincidence.
Easily bladeable? Or, I don't know. But was he somebody, I read a conspiracy theory on the internet of all places, saying he was holding the blade, you know, in his hand when he went into the ring post.
No, he wasn't.
I'm trying to. Yeah, exactly.
Who would make that obvious? They usually have like in a tape or something like that. Yeah. The trunk is going to have it in his hand. Like, here's the knife. Yeah. I'm going to stab myself with it.
Going into the steel post, you can definitely make yourself bleed. And I don't know. Like, you know, like
he did. His top of his head in the post.
Yeah. So,
very and the same thing happened at WrestleMania. So, probably did.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Okay. All right. I get it then. Yeah. Okay.
The fact that he just threw away the doctor was awesome. Yeah. When they didn't even replay that. Showing.
All of that was just planned. Just like, look, we're not going to blade, obviously.
Mm.
But to make this match more special, there has to be some type of color, some type of juice.
Yeah,
I mean, and it added to the match.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating blading.
Right.
Not advocating blood in a bunch of matches, because come on, who wants to be blood?
Who wants blood in Owens and Ryback?
Right.
No one.
Like, the attitude there, people's bleeding like
Hark. Who wants Owens and Ryback? Let's just get down to it. Forget the blood.
Good point. But like, you know, like attitude there, there's blood in more than one match in the card sometimes.
Yep.
Whereas if you do it like once or twice a year, has a lot of impact.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I'm with you.
Tore up the ring. People saw like there's no springs under there. Like, it's awesome. Wooden planks and it might hurt you if you fall in that ring.
That changed that's crazy. They land on that all the time. That's.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wish my dad could have seen that because he always. Oh, so this and that. They know how to fall. I was like, I don't know how to fall on the boardwalk.
On the AC. Just take a flat panel. Yeah.
Field trip.
Come here, Dad. His back body drop.
he took everything off, and I swear it looked like
it did.
Like, damn, they wrestling on Wildwood.
That's great.
They got that little thin little pad underneath that.
That's
pretty much it.
They're filling everything.
Yeah. That's how people get hurt, man. You can get hurt.
And
just
they legitimately took bumps on that after it was up, too.
Yeah.
So it's like the crowd, there was no camera tricks or whatever. Mm-hmm. They choke slam Brock Lesnar right on top of it. I know the tombstone wasn't exactly on top of it, Undertaker fell on top of it. Like that was great.
The tombstone, you know, drive this man's head into the wooden planks.
Yeah.
But I remember Bill Apter told me how he did a drop kick at Shawn Michaels' wrestling school, and he broke his ribs. giving Shawn Michaels a dropkick.
Yeah. Like, you know what? I could totally see that because I remember as a kid, I was probably 10 years old. I tried a dropkick and I fell right, like my elbow went right into my ribs. I didn't break a rib, but holy crap, was the air gone out of me for like 20 minutes. Right. I was like, I'm never doing that again. You have to learn.
That's how hitting somebody else with a kick.
Yeah.
You hurt your damn self.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it hurts to learn. Because you're not going to get it the first, the second, third time. So you're going to be in pain.
Real quick aside, I was watching HBK and Undertaker's Hell in a Cell match.
The first one?
Yeah. And when they went outside of the cage and HBK dropkicked the Undertaker, he fell like right on his back, like right on the cement. I was like, that has to hurt. Like,
it does.
Even doing that, like Daniel Bryan's flying missile kick off the top rope, he's landing on his back. Like, people don't understand that. That's a legitimate bump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, like they just think they're doing a move and it doesn't hurt them, but no.
Daniel Bryan hurt himself doing that.
Yeah, he did.
One time. He was, had a match against Randy Orton.
That was a stinger, right?
Yeah. And I remember watching that. I was like, what the hell is wrong with Daniel Bryan? His arms are limp. And he's doing the kicks. He's doing the kicks. But his arms aren't moving. It's like, what the hell is wrong with him? Like, is he selling or is he really hurt?
Thought they stopped the match. Had a damn stroke.
It's
like, what the hell is wrong with him? Like, I was like, either he's doing a hell of a sell job or he's really hurt.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, he's really hurt because they redid the match next week. Mm-hmm. And they had Bryan was supposed to beat him.
Yep.
That was the whole thing to push him up the card to beat Randy Orton. And he beat Randy Orton with like a yes lock with a Kendo stick across his face. Yeah, it was badass.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it hurts.
Yeah, definitely.
Newsflash.
He needs to get healthy. I need to see him back.
They need him so bad right now.
This would be the great time when Cena and Orton are gone to reintroduce him. So
it'd be so cool.
It would be.
He's one of the few that actually gets pop,
like a legit pop, like a lukewarm.
And the crowds behind him in the ring. Like sometimes crowds just sit on their hands until the ending of a match after their entrances. But no, man, the crowd's into everything he does in the ring, and that's that. He might be one of the few, very few wrestlers that gets that kind of reaction.
He's the only one they have. That's 100% that everybody likes.
Like those kicks, like you were saying, everyone's yelling yes. Like when this just reminds me of back in the beginning of 2014 when he turned on the Wyatts in the cage.
At the cage,
and the crowd for that, like that was probably one of the best endings of Raw, I'd say ever. Just based on the crowd.
Yeah.
And I just get constantly reminded of that when I think of it.
That whole build was amazing, wasn't it?
It was.
That was a good time.
It was.
They didn't want to do it. When they actually finally pulled the trigger, I was like, this is good.
I'm going to go watch it when I go home now. Because
when they did the Occupy Raw, like, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
They're like a year or two late on the Occupy stuff.
Exactly.
But this is still good. This is still good stuff right here. Like, who thought of that? That's good stuff.
Oh, man.
I like that.
Yeah. He gets awesome pop. It's not glass break pop or anything like that.
Or the Road Warrior pop, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, come on. Yeah. Come back, Daniel. We'll need you.
Yeah. Let's go.
Come back. All right. Well, after the match. I forgot about that. Bray Wyatt abducted the Undertaker. Yeah.
But so they're your boys. No, you didn't like that?
It was weird, man. It was weird because the Undertaker lost. So I'm gearing up for the thank you Taker chance and his moment in the ring and all that. And because they advertised the 25th year anniversary of Undertaker and all that stuff. So I'm figuring, okay, this is the end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to just show him his respect for this portion of the show and for the entire next month. And then the Wyatts come out and completely destroy him and carry him off. I didn't get it. I mean, but who gets Bray Wyatt or the Wyatts? So
I think you're not supposed to get it at this
point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
so, what I'm saying. But I was with you. Like, I was just like, all right, where is this going now? And
I was intrigued, but it was weird. It was weird.
I was just weird that nobody came out to save him. Like, where was everybody?
Yeah.
You know, Undertaker got all this respect.
They're scared of the Wyatts, apparently.
He got all this respect, you know.
Yeah.
But Roman Reigns was just fighting him. He was just like, I'm getting some beers. Dean was just out drinking. Yeah. And Kane was just nowhere to be found, apparently. Like, Kane comes out the next night.
Sulking.
Now he's cool. Now he's
dead.
And he gets beat up. Nobody helps Kane.
You know what? Kane was cleaning out his office.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. In the mask.
Yeah.
In his costume. With a box.
Yeah.
I just want to know, where's the company going with the Wyatts? They take him in so many, Bray in particular, they take him in so many different directions. And so many different feuds.
He hasn't won a feud, like, really. I mean, in how long? If ever. I mean, never.
Dean Ambrose? That's the last thing I can remember.
Yeah, I guess.
And they only did that so he can get ready to lose to The Undertaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the only reason.
You know, maybe this is their way of building them back up and taking out The Undertaker and Kane.
No, they're going to build them up again to lose The Undertaker at Survivor Series. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, Survivor Series match with Kane and Undertaker team with two other baby faces.
Now,
hopefully Daniel Bryan. Ooh, maybe one of them be Daniel Bryan.
Now, if Undertaker's last match is at WrestleMania, do you see them dragging it out where Bray Wyatt is his final WrestleMania opponent? Bray Wyatt gets the win.
Because we've already seen it, and it wasn't nothing special.
But we saw that's true. We saw Undertaker and HBK twice in a row, Undertaker Triple H twice
in
a row.
But those were epic encounters.
And I agree with that.
That Bray Wyatt one was forgettable.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I forgot that they fought before. It's like, you know.
Exactly.
Like, I was like, this looks familiar. Oh, yeah, they wrestled at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Shawn and Taker, that they did it twice for a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
That first Shawn Taker match was probably the greatest WrestleMania match ever.
Yeah.
Then they put it in the main event the next year because it was like,
it was that good.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I mean, the fact that they were at an advanced age then and still had the best match on the card. I mean, that's Mr. WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker is the man at WrestleMania too. So it was bound to be a great match. So great that they did it again.
Yeah. It had to. And then they put it in the main event because it's like, look, dude, everybody else is going to get overshadowed. We can't have Triple H and Orton go out there after them again and get overshadowed again.
Oh, man.
Remember that?
Yeah.
They had this whole blood feud and it's like, oh, yeah, have this match, but you can't use weapons.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Oh, my God.
And Orton lost.
I think that's my worst favorite WrestleMania. Worst favorite?
No, worst favorite?
Your least
I like favorite. Well, I like... Well, no, because my least favorite is probably in the...
Well,
your two? Least, no.
Is it like on your list of favorites, that's the last
yes,
one?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Sense. Just because I like Undertaker.
I can definitely think of one worse than 25. If you want to have the entire you know, anthology.
I can think of a few. Yeah.
11.
11 or 9? 9 was brutal. 9 had one good moment, and that was when two Doinks came out. And that was it. When we had Boy Crush.
No,
that was awesome.
No,
he had the promo when he said, I'm going to beat you so bad, you might be seeing double.
Yes.
And then he had two Doinks come out, and they did the whole Man in the Mirror gimmick. I was like, oh, that was good.
See, you don't see writing like that today.
Luger and Perfect.
No, that wasn't that good.
You like that?
Yeah, I did. Because... I like what happened afterwards.
Yeah, what are you talking
about?
Sean.
Yeah.
What happened? I don't remember this.
Perfect went back and Shawn Michaels and Luger were talking. And
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because Luger had the plate in his arm.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. And then he ran to the back and Perfect and HBK started fighting. He threw HBK on a car. Oh, that was awesome.
That's how bad that show was. The two things you remember is like some mid-card match that wasn't during the match. It was like after the match.
Yeah.
And then Doink being two Doinks.
It's amazing you don't like that Hulk Hogan won the title again.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
Hey, can I say something about that? Because Bret Hart was my favorite wrestler. can I be frank?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
That was some bullshit.
It was.
I was upset.
Now, I was too young, so I'm like, oh, this is cool, like, I guess. But
it was not cool.
Originally, I guess it was supposed to lead to SummerSlam, Bret versus Hogan, and Bret getting the title back, which, looking back as a kid...
Was that the original plan?
That's what I've read.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Hogan put the kibosh on that.
Yeah, exactly. So then Yoko won it back. But if that was really the avenue they were going, I would have totally bought that hook, line,
I don't know. I still wouldn't have bought that.
I think I was like 8 years old.
That was Bret's time, man. Or Yoko's time.
It was his time. It was both of their time.
Yeah.
And
Hogan didn't need to be near that.
They had Bret going out like a sucker.
But was that because they would build Bret as the next Hogan? Like, that's what
they
I would look at it as.
They were trying to. Yeah.
Because he would beat Hogan and then just be Bret Hart. You
what
know?
About Yoko? Yoko was money draw as a heel.
Yeah,
he was a good heel. But he was great as that champion.
At that age, I hated him. I don't know if that's a good thing or
a bad
thing.
That was a good thing.
I hated him.
You're supposed to hate him.
But I didn't want to see him on TV type of hate. Oh. But at 8, 9 years old, I still watched no matter what.
Yeah, X-Pac heat, I guess. Huh?
Yeah. I was just like, I don't want this guy. I was
not like that flair heat. Like, you hate
I didn't like his leg drops. I didn't think he was impressive in the ring, and that's why I was just over it.
Wow. I like Yoko. Yoko was a man back in the day. I remember playing like Super WrestleMania with Yoko, and he'd do the bonsai drop like six times on you, like boom, boom. Remember the arcade game?
I think I hate him because of what he did to Jim Duggan.
It was like Mortal Kombat with wrestling.
I hate it when they switched the format of the video games like that. When Royal Rumble came out,
that was fun.
And Raw came out for Super SNES and Genesis. That was great because it was real wrestling. When they went into that cartoony
doink with like a
in your house thing.
Oh my god, that was a
here comes the neighborhood.
Undertaker with Tombstone, you and the actual Tombstone would come up from the ring.
And you liked that shit.
I was like 6 years old. That was awesome. I'm playing in the arcades all day. Me and my brother would be in the arcades all day playing that. Now it's stupid.
That's great.
But back then it was
then it was stupid.
When I was like 6, yo, that was the truth. I don't care.
Yeah.
When you're 6, you like different things, obviously.
I can dig it.
That's the reason I went to I don't remember what console I had, but I went and I rented a console just to play that game.
That's back in the day stuff. You can rent a console.
Yeah.
Blockbuster.
Yeah. Yep. I rented Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
It had like Mortal Kombat trilogy.
I went back and forth from PlayStation to 64 maybe like five times.
That's when you had to put a deposit.
Yeah, like $200 deposit.
John wasn't cheap. Just buy the console.
Exactly.
Right. It was like two.
My dad went to go rent one. I was like, I could just buy it. And then he left. He just walked out.
There was like a $200 deposit.
Oh, man. Yeah. Because
if you might as well, like you said, you might as well buy it at that point.
Yeah.
Put up an extra $100 or so.
Yeah.
It'd have been all yours.
Yeah.
Now you only got this thing for 7 days. It was a fun
You know what?
Days,
I was though. Never allowed to have more than one, though. So I think that's why I rented, as much as I could.
Oh, okay. All right.
My parents, shout out if they're listening, but you guys made me sad.
Blockbuster, man. Blockbuster was the truth back in the day, man.
My local one was Funhouse Video. Shout out to Funhouse Video.
Funhouse Video, West Coast Video.
I mean, West
there
Coast.
There you go. Suncoast, right?
Suncoast, yeah.
Rest in peace to you all.
Yeah. It was a good day to walk in and be like, look at all these videos. And it was always like bright colors in there.
They
wow.
used to be like heaven, right? You walk in,
yes.
I'm going to have a good day today.
What are we watching tonight? We watch all the stuff.
Watching tonight. Yeah, right. You know that thing that they got now, Netflix and chill?
Yeah,
that,
Blockbuster and chill back in the day.
It used to be a Blockbuster night. I don't know anything about Netflix and chill, but I did have a few Blockbuster nights.
Get some popcorn from Blockbuster.
You had everything.
Yeah, everything.
Popcorn, candy, condoms. Like I said, I had a Blockbuster night.
I just rented Con Air. We got it popping tonight. I just rented Con Air, Boys in the Hood, girl.
Con Air and condoms.
Oh my goodness.
How do we get in this conversation?
If you got a comedian on the show, that's
I love it. That's hysterical. Because that's good. Those are good days right there.
They were.
Those are good days. Let's transition here.
We'll try.
To Raw. To Monday night.
Another good show.
It was.
Second good show in a row, which was... I've read reviews almost every regular wrestling site I go to, and all the reaction is like, wow, this show was great. So I think it really hit on a lot of things that was... fixed
your first,
a lot of things.
Get to your first positive.
The first positive? I put everything with a question mark. No, like I have three. I think Del Rio coming back and being teamed up with Zeb right now was probably the best move he could have made as a re-debut, yes.
I thought it was awkward.
At first I did, but now, Zeb's pretty much his mouthpiece, and I think that's nothing but good.
But Del Rio doesn't need a mouthpiece necessarily. I mean
he's not great.
Ricardo was a mouthpiece for the entrance, but he doesn't really need a mouthpiece to talk like normal.
I mean, his mic skills are... They were like I was never impressed with them, and if they really want to build, like, he's not going to be U.S. champion for a long time. I think they're going to elevate. He should be in the main event,
and he should
soon, hopefully, eventually. I thought it was a great way to reintroduce him because now we have Zeb back. They're doing the Mex America type thing. I just think it's unique.
And
you know?
Him beating Cena the night before That's just the company saying, okay, he beat Cena because he is that good, and we are going to be elevating him in the near future.
Yeah.
So. I just hope he doesn't... I think Del Rio is super talented. I love his work. I think when he had the car and the whole presentation, he was awesome, right?
Awesome.
Like, he had a great thing going.
That was my guy.
But the problem is, at one point, at some point, they stripped all that stuff away, and he just turned into like another guy on the roster. Right. And he got real stale real fast. Mm-hmm. He was out there every week, having matches with the same people every week. Mm-hmm. And he was just there. Matches. I don't want him to turn into that again. I think he's great. Right. I remember at one point, like at the end of 2013, I was like, just take him off TV for like a month. Because he's been, if you look back at 2013, he was in the championship match, world title match, like at every pay-per-view, but like one or two. Mm-hmm. Against different people, but it was like the same thing over and over and over. Not Del Rio's fault. It's just, that's just WWE. So hopefully he doesn't fall back into that.
I don't think they'll make that mistake.
As a superstar, you're not going to turn all that down. You're not going to say, no, I need to scale back a bit. But, they did. He was overexposed.
Right. Just horribly. I mean, whatever.
Now, you know.
Apparently he's getting paid a good amount of money.
Right.
Too, so.
And, you money know, talks. He's their biggest Mexican star, Latino star. I don't think they'll just make him just another guy.
I would hope not. Yeah. But you know what? You know, money talks and everything else walks or takes the bus. You know that go.
I'm going to put that over. I'm going to get that engraved somewhere.
First positive. Great night of wrestling.
Yes.
Just, I mean, all those number one contender matches, because it had meaning, because you cared about who was going to win or lose, which never happens on Raw nowadays. You can care less. Yeah. The wrestlers don't care who wins or loses. Mm-hmm. The matches, they had stakes. They were good quality matches. Good matches. Yeah. That's my first positive.
That's great. Like, right to the point. I mean, there was nothing wrong with any of that.
My first negative, though. Actually, hold on. I kind of said my second positive was that the matches meant something for once. The main event was incredible. Yeah. My first negative, though, was the whole thing with Paige. Like, we saw her turn on PCP already, sort of.
Right.
Then she becomes friends with them again. Now she's turned on them for real this time.
Real.
Like, that was for play before, but this is really real this time. It's like, who cares now? She already did it.
It's almost like they took that pen, shine it right into our face, and we're supposed to forget about everything that happened up until this point.
You know what? She can do whatever she wants.
In the ring, you mean?
She is so hot and weird at the same time.
Hot and weird.
I don't understand. I don't understand the attraction to her, but she, man, I hope my wife's not listening.
She's a good-looking gal.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad she did turn on them finally. None of this.
She did already. BS. She did it already.
Well, I mean,
they just made Charlotte and Becky for looking stupid for taking her back in.
She used bad words, but did she like physically attack them? Now she did.
So, that's what I'm saying. Now it's real this time.
Yeah. Oh. I kind of like left that out just because it's like, okay, I've been waiting for this, and now I view it more as a positive than a negative. But I didn't put that down.
I think it was just unnecessary. And she already did it. Just keep riding with it. But now they just made Becky and Charlotte look stupid for letting her back in the fold.
Yeah. There's a lot of Ric Flair Sting jokes out there where Charlotte was taking after Sting, because how many times Sting forgave Ric Flair for turning on him?
And then Sting got his ass kicked later on that night.
Yep.
I remember that. Wow. Yeah. With Ole, you know. Oh, man. Yeah. That's a shame.
That's a shame. And Charlotte herself are the same. She's a daughter of the dirtiest player in the game, and she fell for that.
Yep.
Good job.
But, you know what would make that better, though, is Flair confronted her in, like, the locker room or something and warned her about that.
You're like, look, like, I did that Sting like 20 times.
Yeah.
Sting, Dusty.
Yeah. The Dusty got him in the cage.
Dusty came out and helped him.
Yeah.
And got jumped.
Broke his leg. All right, what's your next?
Negative
there?
I do have a negative. And this is maybe nitpicky, but the fact they didn't explain where John Cena was. You know, like, why not write him off TV for a little bit? Why not give him an injury angle? The fact that they didn't do that, so it just annoyed me a little
bit. You think it's disrespectful to him?
No, I just think, in storyline purposes.
Oh, okay.
In wrestling, like, this is a story where Cena, he wasn't, like, mentioned at all, pretty much. Yes. There was no promos about him, nothing. Like,
you
just kind of acted like he didn't exist. Okay. Right. Yeah, explain why he's not there. Oh, like, he suffered an injury, he's at the hospital, or he's at home. None of that. So to me, that just, I mean,
yeah, it could have just said, oh, he suffered, like, an, I said, nitpicky.
Yeah,
suffered an undisclosed injury, and he's gonna be, you know, out for a while.
Yeah, like, I mean, the fact they didn't even do that, it's kind of like, no, Cena doesn't mean the show is automatically better, in my opinion. Like, here was a theory I was talking about earlier. If Cena's on the show, it almost seems like they book everyone else to look weak just because he's on the show. But when he's not on the show, they do, like, right decisions.
That's true.
They make everyone look the way that they're supposed to. Case in point, the main event. You know, that was one of the best main events in a long time. And I just don't know if it's because Cena's not there, they make everyone look good.
Yeah.
But if Cena is there, you know, they don't want anyone to look as good as Cena. I don't know. It's just...
That's interesting.
They revolve their booking around Cena, whether he's a WWE champion or even a U.S. champion. Yeah. It revolves around Cena. When he's not there, they're like, okay, now we got to make somebody else look good.
Right.
Finally.
Yeah. And it's just, from top to bottom, the show seemed like one of the best of the year.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, assume it's because Cena wasn't there, but you just got to wonder... Is it because he wasn't there?
Yeah, maybe Cena being there hinders the creative process, the writing. And now he was going, it forced them to come up with something good.
Yep. Because you had people to root for all night long.
Yeah.
You know? So.
All right, well, I'll get to my last positive, and that was, I got two more negatives, by the way. But
ditto.
My last positive would be Titus O'Neil and what he did in that breast cancer awareness segment.
That was good.
I thought he looked good. Showed up his charisma.
Yeah.
Which people, I don't know why WWE doesn't think this guy is a good baby face. Like, remember they split the primetime players up and they turned him heel? I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why would he be the heel? Not... He's a good baby face. Yep. He can talk. He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he showcased some of that in that breast cancer awareness segment. And it's like, look, you got to get this guy on TV more because he can talk. He's not a great wrestler. Like, he's not great in the ring, but he's entertaining on the mic.
Yeah,
I think it's cool. I think he could get people behind
him. I think the house show we went to in July, that was in Philly before SummerSlam, you know, it was the Primetime Players versus the New Day. And the New Day was great and everything, but Titus was doing his thing. He was getting the crowd hyped. Like, he could do it all. And that's a good call.
He could just talk. He could just go. Like, he just he's funny. Like, he did that stupid Pancake Patterson thing a couple years ago. He had the afro.
Yeah.
And he would get the gout and stuff. That was funny. It's stupid.
He did. WWE has to utilize their talent. I mean, if he could talk, put him in front of a mic.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's
almost, you forget that they were tag team champions earlier this year.
Yeah, right. Because they were. Yeah.
But you kind of, like you said, like, they don't usually use the guys to the best of the, they don't play to these guys' strengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, play to these guys' strengths, man.
Yeah, Darren Young, he's a workhorse in the ring. Maybe not so great on the mic. Titus is really good in the mic. Not necessarily the workhorse. He can get in the hot tag. He's good for the hot tag. He's good for the comeback. But he ain't going to be working most of the match. Yeah. But he can talk his ass off.
Just like for instance, like, they're sort of like the Hart Foundation in a sense. Neidhart could talk, but he wasn't that great in the ring. Bret was great in the ring, couldn't talk.
Right.
And then they had Jimmy. And he could talk. So they had two talkers and they had a technician. I mean, you got to blend your talents.
Neidhart would just scream. Neidhart would just scream. Ah! That was promos back in
the day. He could scream.
Back in the day.
But he had charisma. He was animated. He had charisma. He had a personality.
Yeah.
Bret had no personality.
He had to work on that.
Yeah.
A lot.
When he turned heel, though, with 97...
Yeah,
that was some good stuff.
Some of his best stuff.
I mean, sometimes the greatest stuff is the stuff that's real.
Yep.
And he was really, really upset.
Yep.
It worked because I liked heel Bret Hart. He was a prick.
He's probably one of my favorite characters in wrestling.
I like to call Bret in that time a heel-o. He was a heel in the States.
Oh, yeah,
but he was a hero in Canada.
Yeah. And that I love. It was so unique to me. Growing up, you know, it was good guys versus bad guys and everywhere. So you had Bret being booed in America, but then when Canadian Stampede, you know, was in
Heroes
Canada
Welcome.
And like all that, I'm sitting there, I'm like, those bastards.
Like they'd like, say Cena is so polarizing and this and that. Bret was the first real polarizing superstar because depending on what country he was in, he was either loved or they hated him.
Yep.
Canada loves him so much they named a hockey team after him.
Yeah,
it was a Calgary Hitman.
Yeah,
that's a minor league hockey team.
Yep.
So, you know.
I think they even asked his permission to use that nickname too. And he gave it to them.
Yeah, yeah. They wear pink and black. Yep. That's his squad. Yep. All right, I'll get to my next negative because I got two more left.
Okay.
Where the hell is Team Bad? Team BAD is Team MIA. Where the hell are they? This is ridiculous. I'm getting sick of this, man. This is annoying.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Because, all right, you got the Bella PCB, or not PCB, but whatever. They got that thing going. Mm-hmm. But they got to be somewhere. They got to be cutting a promo. Mm-hmm. They got to be doing something. There's no reason why you have the best female performer in the world, in Sasha Banks, on your roster, and she's just nowhere to be found.
That's crazy to me.
I get, all right, maybe you don't have, like, she's not involved in this main story, but you got to have something for her. Mm. Something.
She is awesome.
And then you still got Naomi, who's talented in her own right. Mm-hmm. And Tamina, she's there. She's all right, but, you know, but whatever. They're a group, and they're a pretty cool group. Do something. Anything.
Yep.
Not something.
Just anything. A singles match with a jobber that, you know, bring back up, what's her name? Emma?
Anything.
Bring her back up just for like a 2-minute match.
Put her in a match with Summer Rae. Summer Rae can wrestle.
Yeah.
People forget about that. Summer Rae can work. We haven't seen her work in months, but she can work.
Yeah. They had that horrible angle with her and
that played precedent, right?
Oh my goodness.
Put her in a match with Summer. I mean, I don't know who else they got. Natalya. Put her in a match with Natalya. I don't know. Do something.
Who is just a worker.
Yeah, that's it. And that's all she is. She's the workhorse.
Yeah.
But. Come on, this is ridiculous. Maybe they got something else bigger planned down the road, but it's not like the Divas stuff they got going now. It's like great, right. Where they can afford to not have her. They need her. They need BAD. They need Bad.
Now it would. I was actually expecting her to come attack Charlotte after the match at Hell in a Cell. You know, just set up that feud. So
they need to have her do.
I mean, they need Charlotte Sasha in the worst way.
They need Sasha on TV talking, and. Then wrestle.
Give her an in-ring segment, like Miss TV or something. Give her
anything.
Something.
Anything. Get them on TV. Yeah. You have to group with the best performer in the world. Yeah. She's one of the best performer, man or female. Yep.
I agree. She is awesome.
Get her on the damn screen. Yep. Would you leave John Cena off and he's one of the best performers in the world? No.
Yeah. I mean, they did Monday, but...
Well, he's taking a break. It's different. They're just hanging out backstage doing videos of the New Day on YouTube and shit. It's just stupid. Yeah. It's dumb. Shouldn't happen. My last negative.
You put it perfectly. So
before I go get too angry about this, because it really pisses me.
You're heated.
You should calm down, man.
Stop shaking the table.
Doesn't make any sense that they're not there.
No, yeah.
I'm sitting right next to him. I'm kind of scared right now. Please put Banks on TV for my sake.
It's obsessing me, all right? But last one. No Lesnar. And I figured that they would have a promo or something with Heyman and Lesnar bragging about their win.
Right.
So they didn't do that. They just had a video package.
They didn't even have Undertaker.
I can understand that because he got abducted. Yeah. Not supposed to be.
Forgot about that. That probably is the main reason why.
Stays getting abducted or leaving, vanishing. Getting put in caskets. You open up the casket, he ain't there no more.
The casket's on fire.
Then you have Undertaker sightings and two Undertakers. That guy.
Oh, my God.
He's always into something.
Undertaker versus Undertaker, SummerSlam. It's a 94.
Yes.
Oh, that was brutal.
With Undertaker number 2 being 6'5".
Yeah. That was awesome.
The gray gloves was the purple.
I got to tell you, I hated the purple. So I was like, I hope the gray one wins just because.
you hope the short Undertaker wins?
Just because I hated the purple. I've got accustomed to it. But I was like, this sucks.
It was bad.
I was 9.
They have two Undertakers.
Yeah. Vince.
And have the main event of SummerSlam. Undertaker versus The Undertaker.
After one of the best cage matches of, you know, the decade.
Brett
and Owen, with Bulldog returning, which was awesome. Yeah, whatever. Two more negatives for me real quick. I didn't like The Undertaker Survivor Series promo after, you know, he got abducted. Why re-show that? That's me obviously nitpicking again. And The Authority opening up the show with a promo that really, I mean, it made sense, but still, it was The Authority opening up a show with a promo.
Just saying stuff that could have been said by the commentators.
Yep.
welcome to Monday Night Raw. It's like, we know what show we're watching.
Longest episodic television show in history.
Yeah, I know what show I'm watching. This is why I turned it to this channel. If you have cable,
just in case you forgot,
you probably have a guide that says Monday Night Raw. I know what I'm watching. Yeah. This isn't 1997 when it was like Pop Vision.
Yeah. Oh man, maybe I should. I feel kind of bad now because I do that all the time on my show. You're listening to Boombox Life Radio or Wildfire Radio.
Different though. We do it here too, but you're not watching it necessarily. You don't see it like pop up on your screen. Mm-hmm. So you still introduce them to what you're watching, but like, why do they feel the need to do that?
Yeah,
I don't understand. Like, we know it's Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. We know. It's been on for like, what, how many years now?
22.
It doesn't have to happen every episode. You could just go, like, just start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Just match. Get a match, you know? An angle.
Something. Why don't you start the show mid-match? That'd be awesome.
No, it wouldn't.
Why not?
Why would you do that, dude?
Like Neville versus
Start a Stardust, football game in the middle of the first quarter?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. You'd be pissed.
That would be an interesting way to open the show, though, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you be like, oh, man, this is interesting? No? Okay.
This guy's
no one's on board.
He's trying to start Raw like a porno. Bringing in mid-scene.
They're already in it.
They're already in.
Like a Skinamax
porno. And they're already off, going at it.
Like a Skinamax porno.
I mean, it works.
It's already.
It works for that.
Already in. It like closes off everything.
This is really Monday Night Raw.
Raw. Raw dog.
Raw.
No condoms. None of that here. It's Raw.
It's going to be a blockbuster night.
Damn straight. All right, we got like 3 minutes left. Oh, so. Man.
That was fun.
Did you watch NXT last night?
I watched some of it. I saw... Well, it kept freezing on my laptop. Well,
get your bandwidth up, man.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Get your Wi-Fi up, player.
It was good. It was funny. You mentioned that you thought Joe was going to kill Tyler Breeze.
Homicide.
And yeah, he won, but...
He didn't kill him.
Wow, like, it was more even. Like, I think I tweeted you last night. It was like, it just seemed like more of an even match than him completely demolishing.
Yeah, I said for a couple of weeks that when Tyler Breeze called Samoa Joe, kill Tyler Breeze, like, let's murder him. And he didn't quite do it.
But
he did choke him out.
Yeah, he did.
He did choke him out, so...
So, I mean, right outcome, obviously.
Good show. Another good video package for Apollo Crews.
Yeah. Next week's the title match, right?
Yeah. Another great one for Finn Balor. They just do it right, man. Yeah. They just do it right.
Finn Balor is the man. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
I like Apollo Crews, but I had no reason to really care about him. Then these video package comes. Right. Yep. Now I got reason to care about him. Like, thank you, NXT. You just do it right. Yeah. Like, now I'm invested in who wins this match now.
Yeah.
Because you want Apollo Crews to win because he loves his mama.
There you go.
Mom worked hard for him. His dad, his family, you know, brothers and sisters and all that stuff. Finn Balor's the man. He's, you know, everybody loves Finn Balor. What's his name? Albert. Matt Bloom's gonna cry. Like, I love that kid. I just love him, man. Like, now you got a reason to cheer for both guys.
Yep.
They just do it right.
That'll be a must watch next week, definitely.
So. They just do it right, man. You see NXT last night?
No, but I'm gonna watch it as soon as I get home.
They just do it right.
It's good.
Get you invested in these people.
Mm-hmm. I love Finn Balor. I think he's got the illest entrance in the game. Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
That's great.
Not even close. And they got lots. Just good job, NXT. Again. Bravo. I don't know. Why they can do it so simple and it's so right. And WWE just overcomplicates their own process that. It's not like somebody else told them this is the way to do it. They're the ones that made wrestling great.
Yeah, it's almost like we want NXT to be 3 hours each week now. Put Raw back to 1 hour.
It'll probably
make NXT 3 hours.
I think a lot of wrestling shows should be like 1 to 2 hours. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. 3 hours is way too much.
No, I agree with that.
All right, but we're about done. We're only an hour. So we're about done.
Yeah, we're not Raw.
Thanks again, Brian, for joining us, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no problem, man. Anytime, man.
Really appreciate it. Of course, as always, you can find Straight Shooters on Wildfire Radio, on Twitter at Shooters Radio. Where you at on Twitter, Brian?
I'm at Brian Isley Live, at B Isley Fan Page, and those are two on Twitter. And
you got a show coming up, right?
No, not. I just had a show. I had my first ever Star Corner comedy promotion. That's my company. Nice. We had it in Pensgrove, New Jersey at Sadie's Soul Food. It was a packed house and it was an awesome show. Appreciate everybody that came out. It was great.
Awesome.
That's fantastic to hear, man.
It is good.
Appreciate
We'll have to be there. We'll have to go to the next one.
Yeah, we're having the next one in December. It's going to be a holiday showcase.
And I'll look definitely. It's not December 14th, is it?
No.
Raw. Good, because that's Raw. Raw's that night.
No. Probably be December 12th. That Saturday.
Okay,
cool.
Okay,
that'd be good. Yeah, the weekend.
I'll get you guys tickets.
All awesome.
Right. I appreciate Thanks. It. I'll definitely appreciate
and
it.
And you guys, make sure to tune in to Boombox Live, which turns into Straight Shooters around 8:30.
Yes.
Every Monday on wildfireradio.com.
All right. There you have
appreciate
it.
Appreciate it.
Brian Isley coming on once again. We haven't talked about Blockbuster and 64 and all that. That's the best part of the conversation.
That is. And I'm I can't wait sex. To.
Hey, man. As a father.
Strap up out there, guys.
As a father and, you know. We know a little bit about that. We know a little something about that. You know, it happens. In the heat of the moment, it just happens. But things get hot. Things get crazy, you know. But things got crazy here on Shooters Radio.
They did.
We're going to wrap it up for this week. Great. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and all that stuff. Shooters Radio app 1.